The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Get up, get at it, and get it done with Peter Boyles on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Good morning, everyone. It is 8 a.m. straight up. Billy Thorpe, Peter Boyles, 710 KNUS. 710 KNUS Weather Center weather, and it continues. It's hazy, and it's going to be warmer. 87 will be the high. You can feel it. I mean, last night I was riding motorcycles outside. You get back, you know, the stuff is in the air. 88 on Friday, Saturday, 85 degrees. 710 KNUS, Stefan's documentary drops tonight on the internet, 710knus.com, at 7 o'clock. Without further ado, he is the man. If there is everybody that I just have so much respect for, it's this guy, Joe Williams, the hitman. And we bring him out of retirement. he's like those fire horses. You can just bring him to the fire. Ladies and gentlemen, the legend, one of the all-time greats in the city in radio and along with the late Irv Brown, that was the show. Please say good morning. Welcome back to the radio show with the hitman, Joe Williams. Good morning, sir. Thanks for coming back.
Yeah, well, although it's early in the morning, Pete, I will remind you, you are now addressing the voice of reason.
Well,
however, around my neighborhood lately, I've been referred to by some as the Marquis de Bagel.
did you ever read about when in New York City, and this applies to you, in New York City, when they went from fire horses to combustion engine fire trucks, it's a true story. So they had all these horses, and they didn't know what to do with the horses, so they decided to make them pull the garbage wagons around, pick up garbage in the neighborhoods. Well, that's great, except when there was a fire, and you know the bells would ring and the sirens would go off, and the horses could smell the fire, and the fire trucks. The horses would take off running it to the fire. I mean, they would, you know, these guys hanging on the back on a garbage truck, and here's the horse, you know, going like, you know, tomorrow's afternoon and headed to the fire. And because that's what they were conditioned to do. That's you. I thought about that this morning. I said, you know, because it's all politics and sports related, I said, it's like Joe Williams. He's like the old fire horse. He wants to get in on the action. So, truly, you guys, he is one of my true favorite people, and he's back on the show, Joe Williams, the hitman. Boy, on days like this, you miss Irv, too, because it's the chassis stuff.
You know? Yeah, I miss him all the time.
Yeah.
I still can't believe he's gone.
Yeah. No, when you think about it. All right, so we'll begin it. I don't know if we want to take the pros on first or what happened with the high school. Now a wave of the magic wand, and Jared Polo says now you can play high school football. What do you do with all of this, Joe? It's yours first.
Well, as far as the high schools are concerned, now I guess the Denver Public Schools, they're not going to jump into this until the spring. Is that what you understand?
Well,
I think the suburbs mostly are going to go for it, and obviously a lot of pressure from the schools, the parents, and the players. They've caused this turnaround. But I guess the DPS is not going to go for it. But I think CAS is leaving it up to the various, you know, districts, school districts, to figure out whether they want to play in the spring or play now. And I'm not sure which of the suburbs. I think most of them are going to get back into it. And I guess there's some guidelines like you can have up to 50 players, and that doesn't count the coaches and the referees, the people that are going to be on the field, the staff and all that. But at one time, I don't know. You keep talking about a political football. That's all this is. And that's what it has been. And, you know, you've got one side where people like Coach Logan at Cherry Creek, yeah, and others, you know, who believe that the benefits to playing far outweigh the risks. And how many other states are playing high school football?
Four,
I think about 40,
40
other ones.
40, yes, 40.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. I don't get daily updates on it, but you can be sure if it was bad news, it would be the lead story on the CBS Evening News. That's for sure.
Yeah. My brother.
So they seem to be getting away. They seem to be getting away with it.
Yeah, in Pittsburgh.
And it seems to be working in other places. And you know, no reason to. I guess it's not going to work here.
Pittsburgh, they're playing high school football, and there's people in the stands. And there was a lot of pressure. And you bring up Dave, and you know, Dave's both of our guys, and Dave had an interview with one of the Chassa guy, and it was really one-sided. I mean, David just blew him up, and it was interesting. Dave Logan exposed it that a lot of these Chassa people, and there's apparently, I think there's 15 of them, never even called a coach, never called anybody, said, what do you think? They just simply made this autocratic decision, and then they flip. So Wednesday night, last night, they vote 12-3 in favor of allowing a fall season for football. Wait a minute. What happened? Well, you and I both know what happened, and it goes back to Polis, and Polis makes these decisions, and they painted themselves. It's indecisive. That's one of the great terms you can see, but they went too far, and now they have to know what they're going to do. So here's something that I was in a meeting a week ago Tuesday night with Frank DeAngelis, former principal at Columbine, was a coach baseball. And Frank started telling me about something called senior tapes. And not that I was never any good at anything, so I couldn't say it, but kids, like we're mentioning Dave Logan, I'm sure Dave Logan's got some great ball players. And how does recruiting work in these division schools? Don't the high school coaches, I'm just going around the barn here, Joe, I apologize, but don't they feed tape up to these guys, the head coaches in college, and say, I got a guy, and it's called a senior tape. There, I'll drop it off there. But how can a Denver kid who isn't going to play get a senior tape sent?
That's a good point. And, yeah, they do have they rely on tape. They rely on players going to camps. In the summer, which none of that happened this year at all, and there isn't any question that. But I don't think that'll keep players from going to college. Who are not very many. P.S. We know not very many kids who play high school sports are going to play Division I football or even Division II football. A very small percentage of them. I think for the good of the school district and the coaches and the players and everything. I think they're going for the common good here, and I realize what you're talking about, the tape and everything, but that's only a very few people at schools. So many schools don't even have Division I players on their rosters. But I think they believe the benefits to playing football and everything, team sports. I think field hockey has also been approved, and I heard you refer to the cheerleading squad. I think they get to do it too, and I'm not sure about the bands, how that works, but there's a lot of people involved, not just the elite athletes, you know, who can benefit by them getting back on campus, but the chances they're going to leave it up to. I guess they're going to leave it up to the individual neighborhoods, schools, districts, whatever you want to talk about, to play. And we'll go from here and we'll see what happens.
Joe Williams is with us. But what I think is interesting is Chassa said no. Now 12-3, they say yes. And I'm told I have no business talking sports or recruiting or anything, Joe, with apologies in advance. But I got some people that do know. And, no, maybe these kids aren't going to be like go to Notre Dame or Clemson. But a lot of these kids have a shot in smaller schools. And they can't get their tape. I think you're the one to turn me onto that term blue chip. And like a school.
Oh,
like,
yeah, that's been around. That one's been around a long time. But, there was even a movie made called Blue Chips.
All right, so a school like Clemson, according to what I read, they see a kid in the sixth grade they start to work that kid in the sixth grade. Do you think there's truth to those stories?
No, I know there is. Yeah. I don't know about sixth grade, but very early on, when a kid, sometimes kids who they identify as exceptional athletes, they start going after them when they're 12, 13 years old.
Yeah.
And establish contact with them and stay right in there, which I think is crazy, but that's what they do. And we're talking about the Alabamas and the Clemsons and Notre Dames of the world.
Yeah.
Texas is used to be, they're been down a little bit, but those kind of schools, Southern Cal, you know, those are the kind of schools that do all that stuff. And there's a lot of obviously there's a lot of pressure and there's a lot of competition to get these kids on board. But there for
are
sure.
But there are smaller schools. I mean, like Western Pennsylvania has a lot of colleges and.
Oh, sure. Of course.
Where,
yeah.
Where do they get there? And by the way, I remember you and I were working together when Friday Night Lights came out, when that book came out.
Right. Yeah.
That's a hell of a book.
And, yeah, it sure was. And it was all true, too.
Absolutely. It was about Midland. What was the other?
It was Odessa, Texas.
Odessa, yeah.
Yeah, it was Odessa Permian High School, a powerhouse, a legendary powerhouse in Texas high school football. And the places where, Pete, they have their stadium like seats 20,000.
Yeah.
This is high school.
Yeah.
It's one of those oil towns out in the middle of Texas, you know.
And the story was, and the guy, I did a radio show with the guy a couple of times, but they hated him in Texas, and they believed that he sold it, or they believed that he was going to do this glowing report about high school football. And it turned out, remember they were getting the one kid, his uncle, a job so he'd move, and they were like...
Oh, that happens. Pete, that still happens down there.
Oh, I believe it.
Yeah.
So they
it was the book... The book was right on. There any doubt about that. I was raised in Texas. I know exactly what happens down there. And and I remember we had that guy. What's his name? Bissinger?
Yes.
I can't remember, but we had him on too. And you know, and the book was a little different world down there in high school football than it is here in Colorado.
Well, he made
a little different.
I think he compared Florida. He compared a couple of states, but I remember him telling Joe Williams is with us, the Hitman, 710 KNUS. I remember him saying that he couldn't go back to Texas. He said they were waiting for him. Really, he told me that. I mean, he came in the studio, you know, and he said, man, I said, how you doing? He said, I can't get off the airplane. He said, they're waiting for me.
In many places down there, their high school football coaches make more than the principals and the administrators.
Well,
and they fire them if they don't win. These guys aren't, they're not teachers in the, you know, many places, you know, coaches are, you know, although it's not required anymore, you know, used to be you had a head coach, he was in the school, you know, and he taught algebra, PE, or whatever, you know, and like Irv did, and then on the side he coached the football team. You know, down there and other places, I'm sure, but down there, you're the football coach, and, you know, your W&L is what determines your immediate future. Don't mind putting for sale signs in your front yard if you don't win.
No, they don't. And that was part of Friday Night Lights. You know, I always say the motto of radio is we're with you win, win, or win.
Yeah. I've been on both sides of that.
Boy, you both of us. I always said that there is no I in team, but there is in radio.
Yes, there is.
The Hitman, Joe Williams, is with us. So so what happens to these kids in Denver schools? Now, you know, guys like Dave Logan who put a lot of guys in college football. And Dave, I think, was very instrumental in what happens on this deal. But now what happens to these other kids? And if there is no senior tape, and I come back to that because DeAngelis really, really hit me to it. I never knew any of these things. So,
no, Frank is right. Yeah. And, you know, by the way, I enjoy hearing him every time he comes on. He's one of the best guys anybody's ever going to meet.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what happens to those guys? And that's another part of this before we go to the pros.
Well, what has to happen are their parents and their coaches who've established relationships, you know, with the school, various schools. They have to just keep in contact with them. And look, Pete, here's the deal. The players, the coaches like McCaffrey up at UNC, let's say, that they know who these kids are. They know who the players are.
Yeah.
And they'll, one way or the other, if a kid can play, every once in a while they'll miss on a kid. They all do.
Yeah.
But for the most part, they'll get by. It's so disjointed where you have half the schools that are going to play and half of them that aren't. I don't know what to make of it.
One of the ongoing beer discussions that my father and his brothers and my uncles would have was how the Steelers missed Johnny Unitas. I mean, they'd get going on all kinds of different stuff. But Johnny U played football in Pittsburgh at the, I think it was the Broomfield Rams, I think was the team. And
he played on a semi-pro team.
Yeah, no, the Broomfield Rams, I think it was the Rams. And that the Rooneys didn't see him, and he went to Baltimore and becomes Johnny U.
Yeah, you know, but Pete, that was, you know, back in the 1950s.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You know, and recruiting and everything is – I mean, we're far removed in terms of the information, how it gets out. Hey, listen, all the NFL teams back then, they used to conduct their drafts with a Street & Smith magazine.
Oh, yeah, sure. Oh, listen, there's a book that I read a couple years ago called The Founders, about the guys that started the NFL. Boy, there are some interesting characters that founded the NFL.
And, oh, sure. Guys used to slip through the cracks all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And that's how, but it's obviously it's different now. There are very few secrets now.
Yeah.
Kids who have the ability, they're identified, as you pointed out, very early, sometime in the sixth and seventh grade even. And I don't think that's stretching the point. And if you're that kind of a player, they're going to know about it. And believe me, they will be the path to their door.
Well, they used to tell stories about those guys coming into the coal mines and trying to get guys to come and play at Pitt. And there's just been some great recent books that have talked about, guys getting paid under the table and,
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just, I don't know, Joe, is it better or worse?
Well, there's a limit on scholarships now. I mean, back in the 50s and 60s, like when Bud Wilkinson was in Oklahoma, and really there were an unlimited amount of scholarships. Now, they only assign so many and have people on scholarship. But back then, Wilkinson would go down to Texas, and he would sign guys to go to Oklahoma just so they wouldn't be playing at Texas.
Oh, yeah, sure.
He figured they might not start for us, but they damn sure won't be playing against us. And that's it. And I had a chance several times to visit with him, and some of the stories that he told that were, and it really wasn't against the, there really wasn't any governing body. A lot of schools did it that emphasized football, mostly in the South, let's put it that way. And Texas, of course, and Oklahoma were one of the chief offenders, but, they'd stockpile their rosters, they'd load them up, and next thing you know, these guys are all Americans, they're sitting on the bench. And that's the way things worked. It's not that way now.
Our guest, the one and only Joe Williams, the Hitman. Now comes the big one. NFL numbers are down. Donald Trump yesterday said the numbers cratered. I don't know if they cratered, but, boy, I'll tell you what, your Denver Broncos, I looked at those numbers. Sunday night game on NBC between Cowboys and Rams. On NBC, they didn't do well. And then they start to move them around. I did that wrong. I'm looking at the wrong numbers. No, I'm doing the right numbers. I'm sorry. And how much they were down. And your Denver Broncos, the Titans and the Broncos, averaged 7.7 million viewers. I'm reading this from the numbers. Lowest number for week one since ESPN got the rights to Monday Night Football. They're just going down the list. Why? And I know my own answers, or I think I do. Why do you believe NFL ratings are down as significantly as they were? And I know it's only the first week. I don't want to get into the argument. But why are they down?
I've got two or three friends who are diehard football fans of different teams, not necessarily the Broncos, but they kind of plan their weekends around football, and all three of them have told me they want nothing to do with it anymore.
Yeah, it's true.
And they're just now. That's just two or three people I know, but there's probably two or three people that you know who feel the same way, and they've probably got two or three people that they know who feel the same way, and you can't tell me that it hasn't had an effect. Okay, I know it's had an effect.
But the league's pretending it isn't. I went back. The Cowboys and Rams was the first one. It didn't do well with an 18.9 million. That was a 15% drop in the ratings from last year. Then comes the Steelers, and that game that was before the Broncos, the Steelers and the Giants, they were down from 13.5 million in the first week, more than the Jets Lions the year before had 10.45 million. And then the second window between the Texans and the Broncos, I'll read this to you, 7.7 million, the lowest number for week one. It's the late Sunday night game, since ESPN got Monday Night Football. The teams really across the boards, with the exception of Tampa Bay, the Brady game had a bump in the numbers. Everything else was down. And I'm serious, it's a heart attack, and they're trying to spin this into all kinds of different things, but it really gets, I think it gets down to NFL viewership is down, and it's what we see now suggests it's over the protest.
Well, the owners basically kind of got boxed in, I think, by this, and they really didn't know what to do. And I think they're trying to figure it out. They're businessmen and not necessarily against Black Lives Matter or necessarily for Black Lives Matter. They're businessmen. Some probably are, some probably aren't, some might be in between, but by and large, these guys, they're dollars and cents. That's what it's all about. And just the fact of not having fans in the stands are costing them millions, millions of dollars, probably up into the billions. I don't have access. I'm out of the game now, as you know, and I don't have access to your numbers, what you're saying. All I know is some of my friends have they've written them off, and you know, that's all I can say. And I think it goes right on down the line. I think it's far-reaching. I think there are a lot of people who find something else to do. I know on last Sunday, you know, when Irv and I were doing the show, I mean, we watched it from morning until night. We kind of had to know as much as we could possibly know about all the other teams in the league, right? That's the kind of show we did. And because you got fans here in Denver from all over. You got big, you know, when the Steelers, for instance, come to town, it seems like there are more fans in the stands for the Steelers than there are the Broncos. Mm-hmm. You know, and you seem to take over the stadiums, but they, you look at this and the owners fit, you know, they're trying to figure their way out of it. And, I know that, last Sunday, I was doing other things. I tuned in a couple of times to catch some scores. I'm still interested, but it's not an obsession with me anymore, and I really could care less. I really could care less. Like I didn't pay any attention whatsoever to the Steelers and the Giants, the game that preceded Denver.
Let me do this. I need to do a turnaround. Joe Williams is here. When we come back, now the Big Ten says yesterday they're going to play. But if you look at all these different things that have happened, and the Monday Night Football doubleheader, this is from another piece I read, it's a Nielsen's, including, and again, you think these things are variables, but two teams in the nation's largest media market, the New York Giants, and it was a drop. Now, I think in Pittsburgh, probably with Roethlisberger coming back, again, I'm reading this, that they probably had a good regional, in other words, Pittsburgh market was great, but in the overall, that game was down 27% in the numbers. And that was interesting because, according to these analysts, one of the, if not the largest, I think it's the largest media market, New York, and they're down. And people talk about being sports starved. These are set up questions for you. You would think that first week, everybody's so starved for sports. And then another analyst I read said, well, nobody was allowed to come into the stadiums to play, which would mean there was more people that were willing to watch, which would mean the number should have been greater because the Nielsen's, you know how that works. They got that box on your set. They should have had a skyrocket number because all these fans, and yet they were all down. And I think those play out. Here's my question. How many weeks do they go before they do something? The one and only Joe Williams and Big Ten football is back. Okay, you guys, this is the deal. And it's, you know, it sounds okay, here we go. Unless it's your problem, then you go, ha, ha, ha. But if it's your problem, you lost your hair. Hair restoration. And again, these guys, they have the guarantee. You can finally reconnect, but with a full head of hair. Address your balding. Be honest about it. Losing your hair. I mean, I'm losing my hair as an old man. It's just like, oh, man. And if you're a young guy, man or woman, and you're addressing your balding, receding, even thinking thinning hair, and there's a one-day treatment. I'm going to do this. Advanced Hair helps younger folks who are just starting to lose their hair. Even older guys like me who want to feel young, look useful. I do everything else to stay young. What the hell? And they even help women, too. There's never been a better time. Truly, this guy, Dimitri, he and I became friends. We got a doc coming on, and they can do it. This is legit, for real. You can talk to them. It's very private consultation, 720-459-HAIR. Easy number, 720-459-HAIR. And get special financing, $250 off. They do grafts, $250 free hair grafts. But again, if it's your problem and you know how that's getting to you, There is a way out. They care well beyond CDC guidelines. Feel proud of your hair again. I know it troubles. It troubles me. 720-459-HAIR. 720-459-HAIR. AdvancedHair.com.
We now return to the Peter Boyles Show.
Thursday morning, everyone. Stephen, this afternoon is documentary at 7, September the 17th. Hazy outside, 87, 88 tomorrow. The Hitman is my man. Joe Williams, the Hitman. We got limited time with Joe. So I brought up two issues. One is the Big Ten makes a decision to return and play.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what will that mean? And number two, how many weeks? There's guys I read, and again, I'm so in over my head. They go, you get to the fourth week of the NFL, and this trend continues. And don't you think Goodell's phone is ringing right now from people as well? So those are both yours.
Yeah, well, the Big Ten, they've kind of reversed course. And usually when it comes to sports, when you're talking about big business, the answer to any question is always money. And I'm not going to be that cynical to think that they looked around and they saw, well, the Southeastern Conference, the Big 12, and the ACC, they're going to be playing in the the college version of the Super Bowl, right? And their teams get in the playoffs, and they start looking at it. And of course, there's been tremendous pressure once again from players, parents, even the president. All of them pushing, for the Big Ten to play football. And don't forget that the Big Ten Conference also is home to a lot of the battleground states,
oh, yeah,
right, in the November election. I'm not going to say how much that played into that, but all 14 teams, including Northwestern, right, are going to be playing what they say 8 regular season games in 8 weeks, and they'll have the opportunity. Then they'll play, I guess, a conference championship game, Pete, on December the 19th. And the next day, at least right now, the College Football Playoff Selection Committee, they meet on December 20th, which gives the various teams a chance, if they're good enough or if they're deemed good enough by the selection committee to play for a national championship. The key here is, and I'm figuring out how this is going to work, you've got like 13 games or 14 have already been postponed in major college football since the season began. A lot of this, of course, is dealing with the COVID-19 outbreaks. Some of these games have been rescheduled. Many of them have not. It's very tough to keep up with because the schedules that they put out in the these football magazines that come out in the summer, they're now null and void. It's hard for me to keep up with it. And I'm very much interested in college football. I always have been, but I don't really know where I'm at. And these games, these colleges who have to postpone their games, for instance, the Big Ten is going to play 8 games. They're going to play 8 games in 8 weeks, right? And that's assuming a lot, because if there's an outbreak, a big time outbreak, and hey, I saw the other day where the whole Michigan State campus is on quarantine. Mm-hmm. Everybody's under lock and key now. They can't get out. These are college kids, and we all know what those college kids are thinking about. And they said, well, if I get sick, I'm not going to die. Probably won't even have to go to the hospital. Mm-hmm. And I won't even get into that. But what the Big Ten is doing is they're banking on the daily testing, right? And they think that they've partnered up with a company that can do the testing every single day for every single coach, player, administrator, staff, trainers, what have you. And they can get those results in just a few minutes. And so what they're figuring is that whichever players maybe get the virus, whether they're sick or not, mm-hmm, but they're going to have to be on a 14-day quarantine, and they will have to. The earliest that they can go back to playing a football game is like 21 days after a diagnosis, and I just don't know how that's going to work. I don't know if they can get all their games in. And what you're going to have, Pete, is you're going to have some teams that played 6 or 7 games, some teams that played eight or nine games, you know, and you know, a 6-0 undefeated team against a 9-0 undefeated team, against an 8-1, you know, a team that's really good with one loss. I don't know how they're going to sort this all out, and I'm going to be surprised if they can get through this season, you know, if they do what they say they're going to do, you know, and they're actually going to sit these kids down who contacted. I saw where Ed Orgeron, who's the coach at LSU, he said almost every one of his players on his team had been diagnosed with the COVID, and although most of them did not show any symptoms, mm-hmm. they still were diagnosed. Now, if that happens during the season, and I think the SEC starts playing in just here next week, or I think it's a couple of weeks. But what happens? I don't know what's going to happen when those players, especially the star players, what if your star players can't play? Then what happens? And I'll be surprised if they can get through it. Now, the NFL, they don't have that problem because, first of all, they're not college kids. They're grown men. They're playing for a living, right? They got a lot of money. They got, in most cases, families who depend on them, and they can pretty much ace all this stuff out inside the facilities. They've taken all these steps, and it seems to be working just fine in the NFL. And I think they can get through their season. It seems to be working, and the players pretty much, I think, are once they're done with football for the day, they go home. They don't go to nightclubs. I'm assuming that that's what's going on, because you don't see any players, any of the star players or anybody else, testing positive for this and having to sit out for 2 weeks. So it's a lot easier for them to do it in the NFL. There's more money involved there. You can keep a much better eye and a much sterner hand on a professional athlete who's doing this for a living than you can some college kid who's 500 miles from home for the first time in his life. He can't wait, you know, to go out and sample the nectar, if you know what I'm talking about.
Indeed.
So, we'll see what happens with the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. I see the Pac-12, they've been waiting for the governor of California and the governor of Oregon go out and make sure that the public health officials will allow them to go out and practice. Obviously, football is a contact sport, and if they can practice, they'll be able to. They're hoping that. Now, I don't know about this one. This just came out yesterday that I heard that Pac-12. They're now thinking that they can get the local officials to, put the quietus on the ban and say, okay, you're okay to go ahead and play. This might affect the University of Colorado up here in Boulder, obviously. And they're supposed to meet, I guess, day after tomorrow, or maybe it's tomorrow, can't remember. But they're going to see if they can get the Pac-12 up and running, too. So, once again, there are lots more questions than there are answers.
Joe Williams is with us, Hitman. We got limited time. Joe has to take off. But it gets back to how the virus has been a political football or politicized. You know, it's like if you go to a Trump rally, you're going to kill your grandmother. But if you're running around the streets of Denver lighting dumpsters on fire, that's a pass. These are the same people now, including the governor, our governor, Polis, who make it's indecisiveness. They make the decision, oh, we thought you couldn't play, but now you can play because we're feeling the heat. And I said this to you. I rode my motorcycle to South Dakota, come through two states where there's none of these Polis implemented routine is there. Come out of South Dakota, come out of Wyoming, you move into Colorado. It's like you cross back in. I was doing John Lennon back in the USSR. Everything's a clampdown. 40 other states are playing high school football. The heat comes on these people. So everything they were thinking, suddenly they don't think anymore. And so if this is the deadly thing that's going to kill everybody, why have they changed their minds? Because
I think people can look through it. I mean, there's obviously a double standard.
Well,
what else could it be?
Of course.
They're going to let 5,000 people into Mile High Stadium or Empower Field, whatever they call it, and they can't, the Bandimeers, they try to put them out of business.
You stole it from me. That's exactly right. I brought that up. So you can play high school football, you can go to Bronco games, but the Bandimeers are sued and forced to close. Come to the NFL, because I know you got to go in 3 minutes. The people I read, and I'm talking about what I read, Joe, it's week four is the make break, and the fourth weekend of the NFL. And if things can, and again, not saying that it will, I don't know, but there are trends, and you know about ratings and trending. So if the ratings cater, Donald Trump called it cater, I don't know if it's catering, but if they continue to trend downward, and the fourth week is a cutoff, and somebody wrote a piece that if it continues at this rate, and the owners are losing parking, alcohol, chow, you know, memorabilia, you know, everything that they get, they're going to lose $6.5 billion.
Mm-hmm.
That's the number. How long before the phones ring? How long before Goodell's on the hot seat? How long before whatever happens?
I think you're going to see – I don't have anything to base this on except maybe you kind of wait for things to die down a little bit. You get a little pressure from the owners and the coaches to the players to maybe soften their stance. The hardliners, there's always hardliners on in every outfit and every camp and on every team. And like you said, and it's nothing but dollars and cents. It's business. And if they feel like you get to, like you keep pointing to week number four, and if this continues on like this, then the rubber's going to meet the road, and they're going to have to do something. I know what a couple of years ago they quit showing the national anthem on television, you know, before the game started, so the fans would not, the people that watching on television, they couldn't see what was going on, if anything was going on, or guys who were kneeling, guys who weren't kneeling, they just quit showing it. Now, they're going to do something if they're convinced. And I know they are. I know that. Look, I don't know any of these owners personally. I knew Pat Bowlen, but I don't know Jerry Jones, right? But I know of Jerry Jones. I know how he looks at business, and he's not going to put up with this. I can just tell you, based on, you know, Robert Kraft, they're not going to put up with this. And one way or the other, you know, they're going to out. There's too much money involved. They're too powerful, and they'll find other players.
Yeah.
I know that they will. They've broken the players union before in the past with player strikes and fans. Now that was a different deal, of course. You didn't have the social issues, you know, that you've got now. But the owners are going to figure this out. And if what you say continues to happen, I think the owners will take, they'll take control of this, and I think you'll see a different presentation on the field prior to the start of the game.
I would bet my hat that that's what will happen. I know you got to go. I got about 80,000 more questions. Joe Williams, everyone, he'll start coming on the show with us hopefully at least once a week. I miss you. The best, Joe. I know you got a lot to do, so thank you, man, for everything, and what a welcome addition, and your voice is missed on the air. Thank you, my man.
Hey, Pete, it's called a flu shot.
I'm a flu shot away. You got to go.
That's
I'm going to go get mine next week. I'm going to get one. I love you.
All
thanks,
right.
Hitman. Bye. All right. Joe, everyone, 303-696-1971. We got open lines, about 20 minutes of open lines. We'll take it to the top. Stephan this afternoon at 3. You want to know the secret of finding a low mortgage rate? It's our friends at American Financing. I've known for, again, they did it for me. And they create these custom home loans that are designed around your needs, including loans that offer the lowest rates in history. And Trillium, it's for real. You got to drop your number. You drop your number, and the application process is very, very easy. You go into pre-qualification, whether you're looking to buy a home or refi for a better deal. American Financing is always the team I recommend. Plus, you can easily apply online, complete your mortgage app anytime, day or night. If you need help, you can chat with mortgage consultants. It's that simple. They took incredible care of me and do the same for you. 303-695-7000, 303-695-7000, 303-695-7000, AmericanFinancing.net. Call them this morning. You need help, you can drop this mortgage payment, man. Put money in your pocket and close the time down. American Financing, NMLS 182334, regulated by the Division of Real Estate.
Listen live at radio.com. We now return to the Peter Boyle Show.
Morning, everybody. Tomorrow on the radio show, David Horowitz is on, and he's really going after the NFL, so that's part of tomorrow. Thursday, September the 17th, 2020. Hazy, warm, 87, 88 tomorrow, and the weekend is here. Please, and tomorrow I think we'll return with Frank DeAngelis and again to talk about the 7th Annual MC1 Honor Run. It's Sunday, September the 27th. For the 7th time, 7th year in a row, we've done it. Need for fallen officers and EMSs and the police and firefighters. And, you know, talking about that meeting a week ago Tuesday night with everyone in the room, and Tracy Miller talked about one of the officers who had been banged up pretty bad on the job, and his wife is about to give birth, and they need dough, and this is the kind of stuff that the Honor Run does. And so it goes from Columbine High School, opens at 8 o'clock in the morning, get the gates open, and it goes to the Summit in Thornton, and you can look at all the info. If you ride, it doesn't matter. Somebody said motorcycles. I don't care. WWWMC1Foundation, or go to 710KNUS.com/Peter Boyles. It's all there, how to register. The time is now to support the men and women of law enforcement. 7th time we do it. 303-696-1971. The governor and these people, they went too far. The indecisiveness of the governor, it's just bad leadership. But here's a better one. Again, Hitman mentioned it. I brought it up early, the Bandimeres. Now, when will people not be able to eat outside? Watch what happens then. I ate outside yesterday. It was really nice. You know, we're sitting, we're outside. And, you know, now what? We're a month from how cold weather is going to get, and what will happen when we start to have these restaurants closed? Urban Lights open again with all these great new selections from designer markets around the world, dedicated to keeping your shopping experience as safe as possible. Again, the sales are going on right now. Save up to 40% on list prices of all lighting indoors and outdoors, and it's a great time of the year. You know that, you know, people do a lot of remodeling, reshaping this time of year. Here comes Urban Lights. Nothing's complete till you get a fan. Get the, I mean, it's the second thing I do. Headed to bed, I got this little remote thing, hit it, and the large ceiling fan selections down there. They got 150 fans on display, so you start the fan, moves the air around all night. Visit Urban Lights today, I-25 in Santa Fe, online, urbanlightsdenver.com, urbanlightsdenver.com, located. There are lighting experts bringing genuine value to your lighting fixtures or your ceiling fan purchases. 6 days a week, you'll be stunned. What a place. It's like an art gallery, 20,000 square feet showroom to browse, and their expanded outdoor indoor landscapes are there. Their Urban Lights Kitchener is one of their big suppliers. See our friends. It's urbanlightsdenver.com. 303-696-1971. You can sneak a call in. Watching this switcheroo, and again, just as a reader, I didn't watch the games. I have no intent. The president just said they catered. I don't know if they catered, but they significantly have taken hits. From people that I read, the make break will be at 4 weeks. So 3 weekends from now, we come back on the air and get to see the overnights. That'll be, you know, Thursday night game, and it'll also be, you know, the Sunday night and Sunday night games and Monday night. You get to see this as a package, and that's how you weigh and measure. And I don't think there's any question that politics have played a huge role in this, and it's the NFL viewership is down. Studies suggest that it's over the protest. It's over politics. The league is citing other reasons. We'll see. But you can bet your hat, because they have to, you know, you got to back your own play right now. So they went along with this. It's the owners. It's the league. It's the networks. They all went along with it. The hitman was right about that. Joe was right. But now what? So if what I read is true, and again, just as a reader, I don't have any knowledge of this, but if things continue as they are, with limited people in the stadiums, Jared Polis, and I said the odd couple, Jared Polis and Brittany Bolin, oh, we'll let 6,000-plus of your friends in. Well, they're used to tons of people. So you lose the parking, according to what I read. You lose the concessions, alcohol, and cheeseburgers. You lose everything that goes with it, plus you're not paying, people aren't paying for the seating. If that continues and the ratings dips continue, and if it trends, and it, I don't know that it will, but if suppose it does, they're on course to lose, according to one of the pieces I read, a total of $6.5 billion with a B dollars. That's huge. And at the same time, and again, when you start to look at markets, one of the critiques that I read was New York, the Giants, largest media market in America, and that number's down in New York. This is all self-evidentiary. It's, you know, there's something going on. and people are clearly not watching their games. For whatever reasons, they're not watching their games. And if they lose that kind of dough, how much of that do they put up with? They don't. Roger Goodell, who has been a cheerleader for political correctness, now will be in the spotlight. And the owners choose they choose the commissioner. I read the life of Alvin Pete Rozell. That was a guy who really knew what he was doing. Rozell's brilliant. But now it's kind of this politically correct part that happens. It's the same thing you can say about watching Denver, Colorado high school football. Jared Polis and Chassa painted themselves into a PC pandemic, into a crap corner. And they've been indecisive, they have bad leadership, and now they have what they have. And so high school football will now be played again. Your Denver Broncos, where over 6,000 people will be able to come in and watch them play. They need to do this. But Bandamir is sued and forced to close. Jared Polis picks winners and losers, which business loses, which needs to go. And when it gets cold, what happens to restaurants? Billy Thorpe, you made it work again today. Thank you, everybody. Stefan this afternoon, and of course at 7 o'clock, Stefan's video appears, the movie. He'll be with us tomorrow. 87 the high today. Take care of yourselves. I'll see you tomorrow morning at 5. Thank you.
When we're together, just sing a song and think about sunny weather. Happy trails to you, till we meet again.